Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Usually I say that two times a week. Didn't get a chance to say it on Tuesday. Woo, there was a lot going on. But you know what? Got prayer for all of it, and prayers were answered, ladies and gentlemen. Don't have the introductory music underneath me today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy because we have a guest right away. Our semi-regular co-host, my mentor, my friend, the person who saved me out of so much over the past several years, CEO, drummer, entrepreneur, I could go on. He's with us on a very special day. And look, I have to tell you that one of the big links that I have with this gentleman is the fact that we both worked for the corporation from hell. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry B.
Wow, yeah. We kind of did.
We did? Just great, and it's great to hear you. You know, you are with me on a very special day. I had no idea that today was the day 4 years ago that your mom passed.
Yeah, 7 in the morning, we gathered at the hospital to say goodbye. She transitioned out of here, and my two sisters and I, we've been in contact with each other today and, you know, just reminiscing, going through pictures and talking. You know, it's a bittersweet day, but a day that she wouldn't want us to mourn. You know, we are definitely celebrating her life and grateful that God chose us to be her children.
Well, I'm just tickled because, of course, when I said to you, and you had agreed, you are actually the one to initiate this. Why don't you put some dates down so that we can firm up when I'm supposed to be on with you? We had said this day, April 26th, but you didn't say anything until recently, and I thought, you son of a gun.
No, I think that Mom, you know, she definitely would have wanted us to just continue on. There was, you know, there was no reason to not enjoy this few hours with you because this is, you know, this is why she birthed me. I'm a musician and a marketer and a radio personality. This, you know, do what you do, Jerry, she would say. So
oh.
I'm doing it.
And that is a beautiful picture on Facebook. I posted it to my page. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. No, she was a beautiful woman inside and out. Grateful. Really, just, you know, like a youngest sister, Michelle, and just like, hey, you know, just grateful for everything.
That's wonderful. And listen, I'm going to tell you at the top, you know how God works, Jerry. You know, of course, more than most people. In trying to put together the show, the beauty of you being on is that I get extra excited because I am aiming to turn you on to music that you may not have heard.
Oh, yeah.
So today,
I'm down with it.
I know you are, and I know you get excited. So there's a couple of things I'm particularly excited about, but it wasn't until, honestly, 1 hour ago how special I knew God was making this show because there is a song that I found, an artist that I'm just getting familiar with, and the more I hear him, the more I fall in love with his voice and the background and the absolute rapid pace that everything has happened to him in such a particular short journey to me. I find out about this artist who I intended to play next to your mom's song from Inspire.
Uh-huh.
I find out this morning, an hour ago, that his mom was a minister as well.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's not coincidental at all, is it?
No, it's not. And you are supposed to connect with this man. He's going to come in a little later, and the song was chosen because the song is so applicable, especially today on this day that you're with me. It is all about you, so I want you to be prepared.
Oh, my gosh. All right. That's great, yeah.
It really is. So what is your schedule like? How much time can you spend with me?
I'm with you. You know, we're going to go and pick up the girls together because I'm on my cell. So, you know, every move I make, you'll be with me and I with you.
Okay, that's cool. This is so awesome, isn't it?
Technology, you know?
This really is. Okay, well, I'll play a couple of songs. One of the songs in this three-song mix is something new, so I want you to pay attention because I've never played this gentleman before. Met him a few years ago. He has ties with people that you know and I know, but we have never played something from his new album before today. So he's going to be part of this mix. Get ready. It's going to be cool. You hanging with me?
I'm with you.
Okay, cool. And we're going to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. I put a call in to David Dyson, by the way. He might be checking in with us.
Excellent, excellent. Looking forward to seeing him again in July.
I know, and that's so cool. And the guy that we're going to play in this set, Jerry, he is going to be coming to Youngstown this year. And I wanted to see if there was some connection that maybe we hadn't discussed as far as this man is concerned, because right now he's on fire, and I'm just going to shut up and play something classic to start off the show, Cannonball Adderley. Woohoo! And you are going to hear the gentleman in question in the next song. So hang in there, and we'll talk about everything that you need to discuss coming up in a couple of songs. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. One for Daddy O from the 1958 CD, Something Else.
All day I'd ask questions.
It appears as though we all needed to hear this song today in the chat room, Jerry B.
Oh, that's great.
You know, honestly, when I put together the show, I always say a little prayer that it makes sense and that it just gets positively reinforced to folks when they hear it. And I didn't know that today was the day about your mom, and that song just hit me. I wanted to play something by Diane Reeves because she is part of this huge, and I'm telling you, huge New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival coming up this weekend through early May.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But when I figured it should be this song, it just seems perfect to play today.
It is. It's absolutely on point.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that just the coolest song? I mean, there's a couple of passages there that stop you in your tracks.
That's
woo!
Right.
Man, do you remember the first time this came out in 1987?
I can't say. I didn't hook up to it around 2004 or so. I think we had to cover it for a local singer, and I didn't know the song had existed or been out that long.
Yeah. Yeah. She is the cousin to George Duke. You probably know that.
Yes, ma'am.
And George and she have been working together. Matter of fact, Jerry, this is so exciting. You have a new reason to come to the region because the restoration of this Howard Theater in D.C. is so monumental. Oh, my gosh, did you hear about the grand reopening?
Yes, I did. I read an article on it just last week, and you know we're going to be down in the area this summer. So,
oh, good. Really? Do you have things firmed up?
No, we're still Smoot. You know, Smoot and Roger Harris. You know, we're still ironing out details, but we're going to be there. We cannot not come to Baltimore this year.
Oh, I absolutely agreed. Yep, and hopefully we'll be working on a place or two where you can also do your thing to make it worth your while, but we'll talk more about that later.
Excellent.
And actually, D.C. should be explored because there's all sorts of things happening now, not only in Baltimore, but, you know, going back and forth to D.C. This Howard Theater restoration, George Duke was there and Diane Reeves was there. Her roster is full, and she, I think, is coming back. Yes, she's coming back to D.C. to the Howard on the 3rd of June. And just in case folks don't know who's going to be at this New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, Jerry, you and I have talked about rosters, who is going to be on the agenda for a given festival in our time. We have talked about a lot of them in the past several years. This coming up this weekend through early May is the most off the chain I have ever heard in my life. Are you ready for who's going to be there?
I got my seatbelt on.
Okay, you better keep it on because it's not got a whole lot to do with jazz, but I find it fascinating that both the traditional and contemporary and blues-oriented jazz acts that are indigenous to New Orleans are going to be there, as well as Esperanza Spalding, the Beach Boys, the Eagles, and Jimmy Buffett, and headlining Bruce Springsteen.
Very interesting.
Isn't it?
Very interesting. Yes, it is.
There must be... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I must say that the Eagles, fascinating. I mean, Esperanza, of course, but the Eagles, good night.
Well...
I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, I'm an old hippie. But but seriously, how is it possible? Because when you look at it is the website, New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.com, I think. But when you look at who's going to be there, there has to be at least 75 acts.
Wow.
it's seriously, you think that somebody's making this up. And hopefully all that money that will be gained will go to the restoration of New Orleans and the continuing of the Ninth Ward. But merciful sakes alive, can you imagine the picture taking this weekend throughout?
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. In fact, I just talked with a guitarist who we did some work together. We did an international cruise. His name is Ian Villafana. And Ian is going to be backing up one of the regional artists on one of the stages there. So, yeah, he's looking forward to it. Fantastic guitarist. In fact, if you you're not hip to his music, I can send you some of his stuff. Wonderful guitarist. If you love Earl Klugh, you'd love Ian's music. He's from the islands. And,
really?
Great. Yeah. Ian Villafana, he was in iJams band, you know, when we went on that 10-day cruise, and he was the guitarist in the band, and we just, you know, just kept dialoguing with each other. Buddy Jordan was on that cruise as well. He was playing bass.
Wow.
So, you know, Buddy. So Ian is going to be at that festival. He's going to be playing guitar, so.
Well, tell him, please, as your buddy, to take pictures, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime scenario. Some of these folks are legends. Some of these folks are no spring chickens. And, Jerry, the way folks have been dying in 2012, let me tell you something. We have to treasure one another even more than we ever have.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Phew! Man, one of the disc jockeys who's in this town, a legend regionally, Tim Watts. As a matter of fact, Tim Watts used to be the love interest of Oprah Winfrey back when Oprah was in Baltimore.
Is that right?
Yes. So Tim has been going through a lot recently because he knew Don Cornelius, he knew Dick Clark. There have been folks in the radio industry that have passed away, one just recently. And a lot of people are so sad and are really taking into consideration that the interpretation of what the Mayans said was going to happen in 2012, which you and I don't believe. The world is not going to end because there's only one being that knows that.
Sure.
But it just seems as though things are passing away and people are passing away as we have known them. Some people who have been in our lives a long time, and some ideas are going. And it just seems like there's a death to some things and some people and a rebirth happening of others. Do you get that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I really do.
And I have to tell you, and I won't belabor this point too much because it is so personal, but, Jerry, I joined a church on Sunday.
Oh, did you?
I joined a church that I'm promising is going through revival. It is so unbelievable. Matter of fact, one of the people just called me today to see if she could pray for me on the phone because T's dad hadn't been feeling well today and is going to the doctor today.
Wow.
So,
is he all right? I mean, it's not serious, is it?
Well, you know what? He has had pneumonia twice in a year, and he was having a little trouble breathing, but he hadn't told his doctor that he had had this heart situation and he was in the hospital last year. So hopefully everything will get rectified and he'll get medication that he needs. But, yes, please keep Tim in your prayers, if you will.
I will definitely do that.
I know you will. And now let's turn our attention to that second song you heard. That second saxophone that you heard, that the tune that we played after Cannonball Adderley, was from Najee.
Najee is coming to Youngstown.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, he has a great album. You know, his new album is wonderful.
Well, here's the thing. The song we heard was Sound for Sore Ears. James Lloyd is on that track, and James is coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, one would think that Najee calling the album The Smooth Side of Soul
Uh-huh.
And, you know, smooth is not one of my favorite words.
In that context, yeah.
Right. But the thing is, this is not your smooth jazz album, is it?
No, it isn't. And, you know, when you correlate the title of his album with the New Orleans, you know, Jazz and Heritage Fest, I think jazz is being redefined. You know, when you think about Bruce Springsteen or the Foo Fighters, and you say something is a jazz fest, and knowing the type of musician that Najee is, I mean, he has an excellent track record, and he is at home in many different styles of music. I think it's appropriately titled, and I think it's a counterposition stood next to the New Orleans. I think they should have called it something else. But I think his, the title of his CD is aptly titled, because it is a great CD. It's well-rounded, and I think it represents soul music from a lot of different contexts.
Well, that particular track struck. That was such a combination of straight ahead and contemporary jazz. I just love that track.
Yeah, it's fantastic. In fact, James Lloyd, in the last interview that we did the interview in three parts, and he was talking about his future personally is going to be more straight ahead oriented. So I know that he had a lot of fun in the making of that track.
Woo! That is so cool to hear. And actually, in going back to what you said, you know, with some of these festivals, and New Orleans can do anything they want to as far as calling anything what they want to call it.
That's their history, you know.
Yeah. Well you know. Yeah, and it's okay no matter what they call it. I mean, I just love the lineup. But to get to the core of what you said, honestly, it's that we need to hear in our individual cities, we need to hear the semblance, you know, all the time on radio, because, look, it's a beautiful thing that we have these shows on internet radio, but a lot of folks aren't listening to radio on internet.
Yeah, right. Understood.
So they need to hear jazz all the time. I mean, it's people have said this, and I totally feel them. There are stations that are public radio stations that play jazz, but they don't play it 24 hours a day. We have to find outlets where jazz is heard 24 hours a day, and then we're really going to get back to these festivals that are what they say they are. Oh, we have a jazz festival coming up, and guess what? All jazz musicians are playing there.
Right. Right.
You know, go ahead.
No, I said you put that very succinctly. I agree with that, Trish.
Well, look, you and I have talked about this, and there's all sorts of ways that people can hear music, and to their ears it sounds like jazz. Not to be one of those snobs who says, oh, jazz has to be a certain way. I'm not saying that at all. But people are going to be laying down money on music that they're familiar with, that they hear every day, Jerry, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, wow, we can really go deep here, because we've had this conversation many times.
Yeah.
You know, but jazz, I mean, I'm going to collect my thoughts first, because I don't want to be long winded about it, because you know you push a button there for me, so I'm going to wait. I'll wait.
You'll wait. Okay, we'll come back to that, because it's very important.
Yes, it is. But I want to make sure that, you know, it's said in a way. I mean, because okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
I'm learning to wait, Rich. I'm getting older. You know what I mean?
No.
I'll wait and say it in a way that will be properly respectful, but it will be the total definition of my emotions, what I feel.
Well, see, I already know that what you're going to say is going to be 100% truth. It's just that you are on the money. As we get older, we need to understand that the way we say it is crucial.
Exactly right.
Well, with that said, we heard at the top Cannonball Adderley, and I have to make mention that this song, you'll appreciate this, Jerry, One for Daddy-O is from that amazing 1958 CD on Blue Note, one of Blue Note's most precious jewels. A lot of people say that this particular album was one of the best in jazz ever. On it, a very rare appearance on Blue Note by Miles Davis. Also, Hank Jones, yes, Hank Jones on piano, Sam Jones, no relation, on double bass, Art Blakey on drums, and that was Miles at the end who said, "Is that okay, Alfred? Is that what you wanted, Alfred?" Who is Alfred Lyon, the producer. And the song was written by Cannonball's brother, Nat, for a Chicago disc jockey whose name was Holmes Daddy-O Daly. So that song was written for a disc jockey. How about it?
Yeah, well, disc jockeys, you know, the importance of disc jockey, even in the age of internet radio, is vital. I mean, you know, for a time in my life, I was a disc jockey, but I grew up, you know, listening to the great ones. And, you know, here in Youngstown, Ohio, Frankie Halfacre, as well as when I went to Detroit for the summer to spend time with my cousins and, you know, heard of the legendary Frankie Crockers. And these were the people who were really shaping, you know, what our the soundtrack of our lives. And I was trying not to use that cliche, but, yeah, I mean, if you can remember the first time that you heard Sly and the Family Stone's Hot Fun in the Summertime, and they just wouldn't take it off. Because, you know, I mean, and the first time that I heard Rufus and Chaka Khan's Ain't Nobody, I mean, you know, the guy played it like 8 times straight. I mean, this was the funk groove of the summer, you know. And what you've been able to do, and others like the Courtman, and, you know, I mean, keeping this internet radio strong, it really is helping to help us, A, remember by playing people like Cannonball Adderley, and then helping us to stay current in what's true, like the Najees of the day. So it's just, the fact that he wrote that tune for a DJ is admirable, because the history and the importance of the DJ online and off is incredible.
It really is, especially in the days when we had a lot more input as to what we can play, because, you know, who was to ever dispute the fact that folks on the air didn't know what they were doing or couldn't make good choices, because disc jockeys made careers over and over again because they felt really strongly about a certain track on a CD. Oh, my God, we can talk about this from now until next week.
I mean, look at Big Clark's passing. And just, yep. I mean, could you imagine some of the people who, you know, have really progressed in their careers because he decided, hey, I'm going to take a chance on this kid, fill in the blank, and we're going to interview them, we're going to let them perform on our show, and boom, you know, there you have it. You know, I mean, he's just one of many, many examples. Don Cornelius, you know, as you brought up earlier, I mean, Soul Train was like every Saturday, forget about it. You know exactly where I was. I'm in front of the TV, and that was DJing, although it was a TV show. He made the decisions as to who would come on, and you learned so much about them. You couldn't go to their website at the time, but you know every single movie that they made, you wanted to be a part of it. And if it was not for the exposure that they received on Soul Train, this would be a different world.
Yeah, it sure would. Oh, my gosh. And Dick Clark really could have his own show, because what he was able to do as far as, you know, it didn't happen quickly because those were the times, but integrating the original Philadelphia American Bandstand, because he was a staple in our house every single day. And then, you know, you saw the audience change from all white to black and white. And Dick, you know, Gladys Knight can't say enough about Dick Clark and what he was able to do, because she remembers.
Exactly. Just, so yay for the DJ.
Oh, yeah, yay for the DJ. And look, we have a call here. We don't usually do this, but this is going to be pretty free form anyway today. I'm going to take a call. I don't know who it is, so we'll find out together, okay?
Okay, very cool.
Okay. All right, here we are on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, 313 area code. Who is this?
What's up, Trish?
Hi, who is this?
That is Albert.
Albert! Albert, you got through, my man. Hello, how are you?
Just fine, except for my laptop. For some reason, this joker does not want to refresh and give me the sound. So, look, this is going on.
Oh, well, then you'll have to, we'll let you stay on the phone so you can hear. Jerry B., this is Albert Norwood, who is part of the Christian Instrumentalists.
Albert, what's happening, man?
What's up, Jerry?
How you feeling, brother?
Doing just fine, pretty much. Yeah, y'all will be missing Dick Clark right when I finally start hearing through the phone.
Well, you have a love for Dick Clark. I know you do.
Yeah, especially since I can't say his first name on the chat.
Oh, well, now you can.
And
Jerry, you should know about this. This is so, it was a vexing problem for a while. We were getting some folks who were being reprimanded in the chat room because of different kinds of things or speeding up whatever. But I changed the shows. You have to manually change them from everyone, as far as your audience is concerned, to mature. And I think it'll make a difference.
I see. Okay.
Yes. Hmm. Because Albert couldn't even say the name Dick Clark because of the first name.
I got you. Understood.
Yeah. So now I think it'll be different, Albert. So, you know, we can play around with that and see. That was just, and that's one of the things I mentioned to Blog Talk Radio. So hopefully you'll be good to go now.
Yeah. Again, I'm typing this now in the chat. Again, I did it. The whole four-star thing, I'm actually doing it. I'm having fun with the thing now. That was like crazy.
So why can't you get sound?
I had no idea, absolutely none, because I did a refreshing in my browser like about at least four or five times. It's just not doing it right now.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put you on hold. Hopefully you have a nice scenario whereby, you know, you can just hang. I'm going to put you on hold so you can hear the audio for the show. Is that cool?
Oh, not a problem, by all means.
Okay, very cool. Well, I'm glad to finally hear your voice, and Jerry finally is able to hear you too. So now I'll know that the next time around, I'll play the other song that I have. Next Tuesday, when we have another guest, I'll play the other song by the Christian Instrumentalist because you got through.
Oh, sweet.
That would be really cool.
What's up, everybody in the chat? Now you know who you're talking to. So there you go.
That's wonderful. It's always good to put a voice with a name. That's cool. Well, hang out with us because I'm going to get into another three songs, and hopefully I'll chat with you again.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Albert.
All right, see you in a minute.
All right, bye-bye. Now, Jerry, I want you to know something. I'm going to go into this next three-song set, and this was cool to keep in mind for today's show. One of these songs, actually the third song, is going to be a vocal. So that's how you'll know that we're going to get back into the swing of things. That's usually the way that the show is programmed. This third song is by a gentleman who was a guest on the show a few months ago. And he said that he would like to hear somebody re-record this song. He wants to hear this song in somebody else's voice because it's one of his favorites.
Ooh.
So think about the roster that you have of all the artists that you have that you look after, and maybe think about how good this song could sound in somebody's voice other than the person who you're going to hear.
You got it.
We'll do. Okay. And we're going to start off. Actually, we've got a couple of guitarists that are noteworthy to play back-to-back. This gentleman we just talked about with Kirk Whalum on Monday night's interview on Cool Jazz Conversations.
Oh. Okay.
Kirk Whalum is going to be at the Preserve Jazz Festival in June, And to a large degree, Eric Essex and you have a lot in common, Jerry, because Eric puts together who's going to be at Preserve, and you put together all the folks that are going to be at the Youngstown Jazz Festival coming up.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
This is
now, Eric is a musician, right? Guitar, right?
Eric is let me put this in my alter ego Shaniqua's words, okay?
Okay.
Eric Essex is the beginning and the end.
Wow.
He is not only a gifted guitarist who has culled a lot of inspiration from one hand Wes Montgomery, other hand Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
But he is one of the finer specimens that God has ever put together in one package.
Wow. Group B.
That's what Shaniqua would say. So this is a song called Brother Brian from Birmingham. You will really dig this. And then we're going to hear another guitarist who you will probably hear at first chord, and then we'll play the singer at the end, so get ready.
You got it.
Okay. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Eric Essex. Thank you. mercy. Oh, my goodness. George Duke, everybody. Oh, please, please, please. It is so good to hear him do that song. Jerry B., don't you love that song?
Yeah, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I mean, really, that was a great selection, Trish.
Well, you know what? I really did think of you because, you know, you've got so many hats that you wear there in Youngstown, and you oversee artists. And I just thought recently, honestly, in the past 24 hours, because sometimes the show gets put together a little bit late in the game, and just you're waiting for the appropriate song. He had said, he made this very clear when he was on our Hybrid Jazz show. He said, I am looking for somebody to do this song again because I'm tired of hearing me, although I love the song.
Well, we can make that happen, definitely. It's a beautiful tune, and he borrowed a little bit from Stevie Wonder on that bass synthesizer, you know, weaving in and out of those harmonies. I mean, that's a very well-crafted tune. So, I can get to work on that.
Now, wait a minute. Who borrowed from who, Jerry B.?
George Duke borrowed from Stevie Wonder a little bit with the way he weaved that bass synthesizer in and out of the harmonies.
Are you sure? Are you sure that Stevie didn't borrow from George?
No. I'm sure that George borrowed from Stevie on that, you know, utilizing that technique. Certainly.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know that George was turned on to using the full breadth of his keyboard from Zappa back in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, Stevie was pioneering. Remember, he was fighting Motown to be able to do some of the same things when he worked with the manufacturers from Moog. And so all that fulfilling this first finale and, you know, music, and not music, not songs in the Key of Life, but I'm getting too old, music of my mind, you know, all that stuff. That was all coming out around the same time. And, you know, I love George Duke. He's my hero. But I would venture to say that he listened to Stevie to go, oh, yeah, that was pretty good, and took that. Then, of course, you got Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea. All of them were coming up with that type of synthesis, you know, putting that on the forefront in jazz. Stevie was a part of that.
It's just, you know what, it would be so fascinating to have a symposium sometime with just those folks that you've mentioned. Of course, George, Stevie.
Set that up.
Oh, God.
If you can make that happen, you can do it. And please, just let me ask like one or two questions. That would be fantastic.
Look, you know what? Everybody's got their gifts, Jerry B. We rediscovered this in my four-hour stay at my new church the other day. 2 hours for orientation, 2 hours for the service. But we really got it delivered to us what our gifts are. My gift is doing this right here. somebody else needs to do promotion and getting stuff and people together.
You can do that.
He's relentless. You can do that, Trish. Come on.
Yeah, you can do that. You can make that happen. And if there was a symposium with Herbie, Chick, Stevie, and George, and then just for gravy, put Bernie Worrell in there. And, man.
Listen, the two things, two events that are being discussed today, one we just talked about, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. I played George for a couple of different reasons, because of that song and because I thought, ooh, if Jerry starts to get those little embers going in his head about who we can have to sing that song, that would be awesome. But George, and speaking of Herbie, I am so utterly thrilled. We'll get to what Herbie's role is in just a momento, because we're going to play him. But Herbie has done such a great thing for jazz. Are you aware that in the next couple of days, actually tomorrow, it's International Jazz Day?
I am aware of that. Yes, ma'am.
And, Jerry, I'm so thrilled because it's going to kick off in Paris, and it's going to culminate in New York. tomorrow, well, actually, what's the time differentiation in Paris? Do you know?
Is it 8 hours?
8 hours, that sounds right. Herbie's going to be there tomorrow with Marcus Mitchell, Terry Lynn Carrington, Ben Williams, Hugh Masekela, George Benson, et cetera. And then in New Orleans on the 30th, Herbie's there once again, Terrence Blanchard, Diane Reeves, and a bunch of folks that are just part and parcel of who plays and who is who in New Orleans. But this is the kicker. I wanted to save this for you because George Duke is going to be in New York on the 30th. I guess Herbie and Diane are going to fly in together from New Orleans to New York. It's going to be Wynton Marsalis, Chaka Khan, among others. And here are the hosts for the occasion. Quincy Jones, Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, and Morgan Freeman.
Wow. Don't you feel like you should just take a year off and just, you know, follow some of your favorite artists around and just be, you know, if you were able to, just be at all of the great venues for these type of events? How cool would that be to just be set up to where you can be wherever you needed to be where great jazz music was going on?
And this is funny that you should mention that, because if the lottery was ever to be won, we would set up T in school first so that he's set for life in all ways, get the radio station, the hybrid jazz commercial radio station, on the air so that we could make money for a lot of people, and then get the bus caravan.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you know, the right travel agency, so, you know, by bus, plane, or train, we're there.
That's it. And we would call it, you know what, we would just borrow heavily from you, Jerry B., and we would call this the Sound Doctrine Journey.
How about the Sound Doctrine Hybrid Jazz Journey?
I love that. You know I love that. Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
And that way, because we will be traversing a lot of different elements in jazz and whatnot, you know. And, okay, I think I'm ready to say, to speak on the New Orleans thing, because they can call it whatever they want to call it,
yes.
You know, jazz and festival heritage. But I thought about it because of the components of your show. I mean, you know, you go and jazz is such a broad context, and you go exactly where you need to be for those who are making statements, whether it's vocal or instrumental. And I think that a better title would be the Heritage Festival, but there are more rock, because I've been to the website since, you know, you were playing the music and whatnot, but there are more rock and roll artists that are really represented that, in my purview, as much as I love the Eagles and as many jazz chords as they tend to use in their early music, you know, neither of them, from Bruce to Foo Fighters to, you know, Jimmy Buffett, classify as being jazz artists. And we should just call it what it is. It's the Heritage Fest. But to put jazz in there, and there is really no degree, it does it a disservice. And I, you know, I mean, they can do whatever they want, obviously, much respect to the organizers and whatnot, but it's not a jazz fest.
And you're right, you know, why call it that when it just ticks people off?
Exactly right. Exactly.
That's the bottom line.
I was watching. I read on their history. I mean, they've had people as diverse from Aretha Franklin to LL Cool J. But you know, when you get down to the bottom line, it may be rhythm and blues, it may be rock and soul, it may be hip hop, but jazz is its own special animal and should be treated as such.
And you know what, Jerry? I am so bad because God's dealing with me about this, but I've always liked to shock people in some semblance. So I've actually gone to public posts when there have been these festivals that have jazz in the title, but it's mostly an R&B festival.
Yeah, exactly.
With folks who have really had nothing to do or had the desire to be labeled as jazz in any which way. So I have actually said on posts and such in Facebook, somebody better tell Freddie Jackson he's jazz now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. And I think James Lloyd, when we interviewed for the upcoming jazz festival, you know, he stated that from them being in the business and on radio as to certain smooth jazz stations, as they were labeled, playing, you know, Pieces of a Dream, but then playing Whitney Houston and playing, you know, Luther Vandross and playing Babyface. And it's like, wow, you know, you would let the whole hour go by and you would play one true jazz artist on that particular, you know, format. And let's call it what it is. And so, nice segue into the Youngstown Jazz Fest. There will be jazz musicians on stage, from John Reese Project to Laura Varcho from Cleveland to Alton Merrill from Pittsburgh to, of course, Pieces of a Dream as our headliner, and Sound Doctrine. I mean, you're going to get the full spectrum of what jazz actually is, but you're going to get it from jazz artists. And again, like you said, you know, when you set up hybrid jazz, when you set your show up, not to be a purist and say, well, this is jazz and this isn't and this doesn't qualify, but wow, you know, you have people who know the vocabulary, who respect all different genres of music, but are able to put it into the vernacular that this is jazz. And so that's going to be the presentation.
That's very cool. And that's where the beauty, the challenge of it all is, Jerry, because in doing the show, you want to be mindful of a typical person who is going to be listening to the show or coming to the jazz festival. And if you divert too far off, their mind's going to wander. We're living in an ADD society anyway.
Yeah.
You want to be able to pull them in, to have them say, you know what, this is something I ordinarily wouldn't listen to, but how about how this fits in?
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned something there as far as ADD society. I think jazz is the solution for attention deficit. I really do. I think that, you know, when you listen to a Cannonball Adderley, or you're listening to a John Coltrane or a Miles Davis or a Najee or a Kirk Whalum or Stevie Wonder or Herbie Hancock, there are so many elements in there that if you sit there and listen to actually what the guitarist is doing juxtapositioned against what the conga player is doing or what the keyboard player, you know, with the horn lines are doing, there is so, it's like a rich rainbow, and you can just, you know, you just focus in on that one thing, and it's like, boom, you know, it's just hitting you, and you're able to, like, I think really, instead of giving out medication, they should just prescribe jazz.
Oh, you know what? You are right. You know, T has never been on any medication in his life.
Is that right? That's a great thing.
It is, because, you know, anybody who was diagnosed with any sort of under the umbrella of autism, you are, you know, this is not the case for everybody, and I temper that. There's a disclaimer here. But with certain kinds of personalities that are already neurologically compromised, why are you going to tamper further with that by putting them on medication?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you are right. Music is able to heal. People have come out of comas when they've heard songs. You know that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should mention Kirk Whalum, because, first of all, he was playing saxophone on that track by Larry Carlton.
Yeah, he was. They worked very well together. The Discovery album by Larry Carlton is one of my favorite albums with Kirk. I mean, it's a brilliant album. He's playing acoustic guitar on that one as well.
Well, I just love this Fingerprints album from 2000, because not only is Kirk on this and Larry's got these really delicious tunes, but he also has Michael McDonald and Vince Gill on the album. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. And that's a very well-rounded album, Fingerprints.
Oh my gosh. And Jerry, if you're not familiar, it's not that you would necessarily delve into country, but Vince Gill is a breed apart. And those musicians that are living in the Franklin, Tennessee area, they're all closely knit. When they work together, oh, it's like a taste of heaven. That song was called Chicks with Kickstands. I love that.
Absolutely. And you know another great musician who's really very underappreciated for his contribution to jazz music, and that's Bruce Hornsby.
Oh yes. Oh, please. Oh my God, don't even get me started. I love him.
Yeah. So he's great. I mean, there's a lot of musicians who really borrow from him and what he did with popular music, you know. He's a wonderful musician.
You know, when he first came out with That's Just the Way It Is, did that song make you stop in your tracks?
Oh, it did. Absolutely. And it's amazing what, you know, as far as the industry is concerned, because he kind of got locked into that genre, that pop context, and so he really, unfortunately, could not explore as he otherwise would have been able to if he had just been labeled a jazz musician, because there's a certain freedom. But when he followed the pop course, then he really couldn't be himself, and unfortunately his career or that you know, that mode of the industry wouldn't allow him to sustain his career to that level.
And you know what, Jerry, I think that he doesn't care. I think that he's really happy having the freedom that he has. I think he's real comfortable. He's living in Virginia, and he's got his twin boys. He's got a happily married situation. He's doing what he wants. He's delved into bluegrass. He's delved into jazz, where I think he belongs for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to hear some more. I'm really curious as to what he's going to do in New Orleans this weekend, because he's going to be part of the roster there. I'm keeping an eye on what's going on, because he, you know, if you were to say, if I was to say to you, tell me five artists whose music you couldn't do without, who would you say?
Right off the bat, I would say Stevie Wonder. I would say George Duke. I would say Chick Corea. I would say John Patitucci. I would say George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic, because that's just such a vast array of music that they put on the table. And I would say Sound Doctrine.
Of course you would. Oh, you are so funny. Well, listen, tell me, I know you're in the car, right? Because I hear windshield wipers.
Yes, it's raining something terrible here in Youngstown.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put some music on, and I want you to be able to hear this third record that we're going to play, because it's got a little bit of a vocal, not what you would expect, and this is one of the finds. One of these people just mentioned the other day, explored the album. Jerry, you are going to be digging this so much, you will be freaking out in the car.
Excellent. I'm ready.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, cool. We're going to start off with, oh, you'll love this too, Weather Report, shall we?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. This is going back now. Just like we went back to the 70s with George, well, guess what? We're going to stay there. This is just so cool. From Mysterious Traveler, this is Jungle Book on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
And to live again, conditions of mankind we living in, delivering us to a state of emergency. I guess God has given us a call for courtesy. Hope I'm awake to hear it. I hear it. I hear it. The spirit of Gil I hear it, the spirit of will. Power in the hour of chaotic theory. No rest for the weary, no stress when you hear me. I guess perseverance prepared me for an opportunity knocked down the walls. Calls from grandmothers, mothers, aunts, uncles, sons. A time for young men to be born and manhood begun. I only run for salvation. The sun tells the story that says give God the glory. I give it and live it as pure as possible. Conversations with the world, but the world's not always logical. As the weather blows every which way, I take a look at the day and say thank you. How can I help?
Okay, I just got to tell you, I'm on fire for this boy. I'm on fire. Woo!
That was huge right there. Who was that?
How about that? Jerry B., let me tell you something. The other day, Kirk Whalum was on Cool Jazz Conversations. I thank Kirk for this because I would have never gravitated in that direction anyway. He talked about his nephew, Kenneth Whalum III.
Wow.
That's Kenneth on saxophone, Waylon, with Robert Glasper on piano, okay?
Man, oh, man.
And check this out. Did you hear who was doing the spoken word?
Now, I was trying to get that. I'm on my cell, and, you know, I have you on speaker, so I couldn't really get that enunciation down.
That was Common.
Really?
Yes. Isn't it, though? Yeah.
Very much.
And the song is called It Was Written, and the name of the album that was out actually in 2010 is called To Those Who Believe. Oh, my God. So folks have to know that Kenneth's dad is Kenneth Whalum Jr., who's a pastor in Memphis.
Yeah.
So Kenneth III wanted to do an album based on all those blues influences and all the jazz he heard from, you know, Uncle Kirk and Uncle Kevin.
Yeah.
And actually, one of his big inspirations was his great uncle Peanuts Whalum, Hugh Peanuts Whalum, who toured at one time with Lionel Hampton and Miles Davis. So you've got a young man here who is just on fire with that saxophone. He had Chris Daddy Dave on drums and Derek Hodge on bass. That is a tight unit right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was fire.
Oh.
It was on point.
Man, and you know what? The cool thing is about Kenneth is that he is he seems to be adamant about jazz, but he has toured with Sean Combs, Jay-Z, and Maxwell.
Oh yeah. You know that. You know, again, we were talking about the vocabulary of jazz, but the musician. I mean, he can call from all of those influences and still make it rock, because that was definitely jazz saxophone playing at its best right there. And he has his own sound, his own tone. You know, it's not like he's tried to borrow or be lazy, you know, and just use the licks that Kirk uses. He's been on. That was fantastic.
That
was good.
I knew that you would like that. I can't wait to like spend time this weekend with the whole album, because, you know, this young brother, you know what he's talking about to those who believe. He is trying to immerse the gentle pedal foot of gospel onto everybody who listens. I love this.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful recording. Now, you said it came out in 2010?
It did. And, you know, Kirk brought it up the other day because we were talking about different kinds of jazz. And he said that his nephew has opted to go in a particular direction. And I went, huh, I wonder what that direction is. And he had a little bit of a smile in his voice, and I went, oh, you know Kirk is like tripping over Kenneth III. You know he is just loving what his nephew is doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he's loving it. And I'm digging it. So what's the name of the album? Because I'm going to have that.
It's called To Those Who Believe. That's what it's called.
Okay.
To Those Who Believe. And I've read a couple of reviews, and each of the reviews, Jerry, they're on fire for this artist, and there's just something special about the pop of the music on that. It's clearly anointed to me, really.
Absolutely. Now, what is the label? Is it independent, or is there a major label involved?
I think it's indie. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. That's
so, just so folks know, the UNESCO Goodwill Ambassador, who is responsible for putting together the first International Jazz Day, we heard in that second song, Herbie Hancock from 1965's Maiden Voyage, with Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. Oh, thank you, God. We had him for a brief and shining time. Thank you for Freddie Hubbard. Oh, please. Man, Ron Carter on bass.
Don't go so fast. The Freddie Hubbard, did you hear the scales in the middle of that as he was flowering those scales there? Fantastic stuff.
He just, it was in his own planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not a lot of...
I had to note that before you introduced the rest of the band. Dude was on those scales like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I mean, and you know what? His son, Dwayne, always writes about his dad on Facebook, and Dwayne is the one who keeps up the website. Dwayne misses his dad so much. And just has infused this passion for living that Freddie had. My God, when you go back and see the breadth of work that Freddie Hubbard had, it's just, you could spend the whole weekend and you'd be happy on Monday.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely right.
Ron Carter on bass, George Coleman on tenors.
Yeah, Ron Carter, go for it.
Ron Carter on bass, Tony Williams on drums, George Coleman on tenor sax, and of course Herbie on piano. But isn't that amazing that this man Herbie Hancock put this together as part of his Goodwill ambassadorship? He wanted to make sure there was an International Jazz Day.
Wow. Yeah, fantastic. And thanks to you for bringing all of that out and putting on the platform for us to enjoy today.
Well, it's a ministry. JB, you have your thing happening in Ohio. I got it going on in Baltimore.
That's right. You're the right ambassador for the job, that's for sure.
Well, it's just, look, I love to do it. And here's why. Here's the bottom line, and I'll stop and we'll go on. But honestly, I just have the vision of everybody who loves the music to be making money somehow, some way. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And for the, you know, when you have the whole thing in place where the station is happening, that way that the clubs start opening, that way people get hired to do the bands, people get endorsements, and people get sponsorships. There's a whole lot of money to be made.
Yes, ma'am. You're right.
So that's the bottom line, the whole modus operandi. And Weather Report, Mysterious Traveler, their fourth release from 1974, Jungle Book, oh, my God, I love that song. Joe Zawinul on not only, he played a lot more than keyboards. I mean, he was doing his kalimba on this album, and also, gosh, what else was he playing? A couple of other instruments. Wayne Shorter on sax, God bless him. Alfonso Johnson on bass, and Ishmael Wilborn on drums, and also Isakoff on tabla on that song. Cool. I love that.
Wow.
Tabla.
Yeah, that was a great tune.
Yes. And your buddy, Kirk Whalum, who I know that you'll work with someday.
I shall.
Yes. Kirk spent about an hour with us on the show on Cool Jazz Conversations the other day. He had to dash because they were going to do a benefit at Stax for a gentleman who was huge back in the day, Skip Pitts, who is now in hospice care.
Mm.
So if you would keep his family in prayer.
I will do that.
So Kirk was anxious to get back, but he did spend a lot of time with us. And, of course, we were talking about Romance Language.
Yes, beautiful album. And I trust I wasn't able to make the show with you and Joy to listen in, but I'm sure you told him, yeah, you know, you're going to be working with Jerry D one day. I know you did. I'm taking
well,
that for granted.
Look,
yeah.
Here's the whole scenario because, you know, Joy and Kirk have this little love thing going on. I mean, you know, Joy's been following Kirk for years. So it's basically Joy's show. I'm just along for the ride.
Well, I have to shoot her an email to keep reminding him of that and speaking that into existence because it will happen. But with respect to Romantic Language, I mean, you know, what he and Kevin has done is, I mean, you know, and that's one thing that I really do enjoy about Kirk. From day one, it's not just because of his celebrity and he's a great star, but, you know, I really do enjoy those artists who say, well, this is the project and this is what it is, and so what if it's not like my last album? You know, this is what I feel like doing and bringing us along on the journey that he currently is on. And Kirk has never failed to do that, and I've appreciated all of his projects because they stand as individual landmarks of where he is at the time.
And doing all of this without compromising his primary ministry, which is now being an ordained minister, he is adamant about not only, and we talked about this because Jerry, when he did Gospel According to Jazz Part 3 in the suburb of D.C. a few years ago, he was certainly talking about the love of Jesus, but he was also talking about the fairness of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he launched into Ananias and Sapphira,
mm-hmm.
every hair on my body stood up.
Yeah. Yeah, understood.
That's a powerful story right there.
Yes, it is.
And if you think that God's not paying attention, wow!
Yeah, God is a God of, you know, mercy and grace, absolutely, and we want the Lord's mercy and we want His grace, but He is fair and He's just and He is sovereign, and you know there are rules to the game, and
yes.
It's just like gravity, you know, defy gravity and the results won't work so well in your favor.
Well, I have to tell you, this is kind of funny. There was actually somebody on Facebook one day, and you talk about people, it's the arrogance of the human race to believe that what you think on a given day or what you feel or what you want to have happen is actually going to happen, because this person actually spoke. He was trying to console somebody. And he said, well, here's the thing. At the end of the world, if you believe in Buddha, you're going to see Buddha. If you believe in Muhammad, you're going to see Muhammad. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to see Jesus. And I went, wow, where's that all that from? Really? Jerry, people are... I know. People are just hurting in the world. And... A lot of folks are just like trying to figure out what step to take next.
Yeah, well, you know, they can give me a call or email me and we can have a nice conversation about it, you know.
I know. And I actually, this person is a frequent visitor to my page, so I'm going to try to acquaint him with you.
Yeah, give him my email address. It's all good.
Although, actually... You know, between your page and my page, we really do kind of make things clear about what we believe in, sometimes to the point where there's real honesty involved. And it could be a sticking point for some people, but you know what? If we were to dilute the message, we wouldn't be worth salt.
Exactly right. And I'm, you know, to be... You know, just to be blunt, I've always, you know, been an extremist and hear me when I say that. I mean, maybe extremist would be the wrong word to use, but very, very confident. When I was out in the world and I was living the life of sex, drugs, rock and roll, or sex, drugs, and jazz, you know, I partied. I, you know, that was my lifestyle. That was my belief system. And even though my mother raised me, you know, in church and she raised me in the fear of the Lord, when I left God at 16 years old, I didn't return until I was 28. In those 12 years, I was very adamant about the lifestyle that I was living. But when the conviction that I was in sin, that I was actually, you know, my lifestyle was displeasing to God, and it wasn't about, you know, mom taking me to Sunday school anymore. It was a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Then everything changed, and revelation from the Holy Spirit, I just realized that I needed Him. I needed a Savior, and that He was exactly who He said He was, the way, the truth, and the life. And so I'm uncompromising in who I am, and as a follower of Jesus, it's just, you know, it's no, you can say whatever, my daughter's getting in the car, you can say whatever you want to say, you know, and it's okay. I'm all for having a dialogue with you. I'm all for, you know, having the conversation. I'm all for respecting, you know, where you may be, because when I was out there and people would be, you know, like, well, I'm praying for you, or, you know, I'm praying that you get your heart right and whatnot, I was even more heartened by those particular comments because, hey, like I said, my mom had me in church. I know what the scriptures say. I could probably explain that scripture to you better than you can. You know what I'm saying? So I was a very adamant guy, so I'm all for having those conversations. And I think my responsibility is just to make you a little more curious about the Jesus that I serve. I mean, you're entitled to your belief system, but I do know emphatically that He is the way, that He is the truth, and He is the life. And I won't, you know, I won't back down from that.
I know, and it's just really interesting to me as time goes on that you would think that some people, and there will be those, they're certainly not ready to necessarily hear that. You have to be ready as you were after 12 years. But it's really interesting that some people in my circle here in Baltimore, some people that I never thought would be curious, are very curious now, because you can see that the change has come, and there will be more changes as I get more involved with this church. So this is kind of new territory, but not. It just feels like it's always been. So to be forthright as you have been for such a long time, this is kind of new.
Understood.
So it's really a beautiful journey. There's just such peace that comes when you understand this is your role here while you're living.
I'm home, and I understand what my purpose was, and I think, you know, as I reflect on my past life and my past belief system, is the fact that I really didn't understand my purpose. I mean, so you're seeking, and you're, you know, just partying along as it goes, but you really don't understand why you're here. Now I know why I'm here, and I'm thankful to God that He didn't require my life of me during that time, or I would have been forever lost. But He had His hand on me. It was His grace and mercy, and He, through His Holy Spirit, just began to minister to me to tell me who I was. And once that identification was in order, it's like, where else do I need to go? Once you're home, you're home. That's it.
Right. Right. Oh, you just said a mouthful. Yep. It only took five visits to this church. Actually, four. Before I understood that this is where I was supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, and I just pray that you would just flourish, you and T. You know, while you're there, I pray that the man and woman of God who are at the helm and the leadership, you know, that they are led of Holy Spirit to downpour and download into you exactly, you know, what your purpose is in this season of your life, and that you're just going to be a help to so many people. God has given you an amazing platform, you know, through the medium of jazz music. I feel the same, and again, we've talked about this before. I think that Sound Doctrine is more of a ministry than it is a band that plays jazz. I feel that we've been called to really call people to their purpose through, you know, through this music that He's downloaded to us, whether it's instrumental or whether, you know, there are lyrics involved. There's going to be something that's going to feed the spirit positively. And I'm grateful for people like Kirk Whalen and John Patitucci and Larry Carlton and Philip Bailey and Bobby McFerrin and George Duke and Paul Jackson Jr. And the list goes on, you know, including Albert, you know, who we met earlier on the radio. I mean, you know, this is our call. It's our life's mission, and the medium that we use is music, and I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, God bless you. Well, it's so funny because we just talked about this, and I certainly didn't think that we were going to, and I was going to delve into a three-song set that are possibly the most romantic songs ever. You know what? But it's funny. Here we go. The pastor of this church, he's so cool, Pastor Mike. He said, "My earthly passion is my wife. My true spiritual passion is Jesus."
Mm.
So, yep.
What's the name of the church, Trish? You keep saying this church. What's the name of the church?
Oh, I say it on Facebook. It's called Life Source Church on Rossville Boulevard. There is a Church of God insignia at the underneath it, but they don't necessarily go by the strictures of Church of God.
Mm.
So it's operating as a basically non-denominational church, and there are 43 nations represented in the church.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool. Maybe
when we get down
to Baltimore, I'll come and visit when we're there.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, Pastor Mike would love to meet you. That would be cool. Well, we talked about Kirk Whalum, and I wanted to play something. Actually, we have a vocal, we have an instrumental, and then we have a vocal again. And there's a couple of songs I want to play from Inspire before the hour is over. Is that cool?
Excellent.
Okay, cool. Kirk Whalum and Kevin Whalum, they wanted to make sure that they paid a tribute, as it were, to John Coltrane. So there are a few songs on Romance Language that Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane did, and this is one of them, dedicated to you on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy!
Dedicated to you. me in the glow of your caresses. You turn my timid no to eager yeses. You sweep away my sorrow with your sigh. Astarte, oh, how your golden sunlight. Blossoms send their perfume to my pillow. Oh, who could know you half as well as I? The tender wonder of the roses each time a setting sun smiles on the sea. Estarte, when you sleep beneath a snowy cover, I'll keep you in my heart just like a lover. Wait until you come again to me, Estarte. Thank you. the setting sun smiles on the sea. Estate. And when you sleep beneath a snowy cover, wait until you come again to me, Estate.
One of the most fabulous songs that ever was. Oh, my gosh. That is Shirley Horn from 1987's Softly album, Estate, Summer. Just amazing. And I was thinking of Shirley Horn because her birthday is May the 1st, which is coming up. She passed away in 2005. What an incredible person she was. Jerry, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. I just want to let you know about Shirley Horn because, honestly, this woman was so incredible. She, it's just hard to believe with the breadth of talent that she had on piano and vocally what she was able to do with the song. Johnny Mandel, the amazing writer, music writer, said that he viewed her as having two heads because she was so adept at what she was able to do on a keyboard and to use that kind of control in the way of vocalization. And she got the highest accolades of other people, one in particular who never gave accolades to hardly anybody, and that was Miles Davis.
Wow.
He loved her, and he made it a point to tell everybody about her back in the day. This was in the 60s, and Quincy Jones fell in love with her, and he said, this is a quote here that he said, like clothing, her voice is, as she seduces you with that voice. And he wanted to try to change her so that she would lose more focus on the jazz and get into vocalizing no matter what genre, and she wouldn't have it. After the Beatles came onto the shores of America, she chafed at the idea that music was changing. People were getting away from jazz. And honestly, she had been married. She decided that since she couldn't find the way to do it the way she felt her gift was, she was going to be an at-home mom and take care of her family. And she became an office worker.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So she could have had a lot more happen in her career, But she was very adamant about which direction she wanted to be, and this was her. That what you just heard was just so mind-blowing. This just goes to show you, you have to follow the muse of what God tells you is yours and not what people try to talk you into.
That's right. Absolutely. Her tone was absolutely incredible.
Oh, oh my gosh. So intimate. That song, you cannot listen to that song if you have just broken up with somebody or it's rainy. it's just too powerful. And we also heard Kenny Barron. And Jerry, I don't know if you saw the picture, one of the shining little lights in life in the past few months has been for me to have Kenny Barron on the show.
Mm.
Just an amazing man, an amazing body of work. That was Sail Away from 1994's Wanton Spirit. He came to the Baltimore Museum of Art a couple of weeks ago. He had just a trio. And what he was able to do, and this was so cool, you'll be really edified by this. The Baltimore Museum of Art, this was the last in their series for patrons of the Baltimore Chamber Jazz Society. Mm-hmm. You could not find a seat, and it was standing room only for Kenny Barron.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. It was just incredible. The music, T was with me, and T was so at peace with what he heard from bass and drums and Kenny on piano. It was as though there was some beautiful divine force that entered the room, and it just chilled everybody out when everybody left. Hey, how you doing? I'm great. How are you?
Wow.
It was amazing, and T took the most incredible picture of Kenny and me and posted it on Kenny's page. Holy cow, a lot of people responded. Apparently, he does not get pictures taken too often.
Really?
So it was no problem. I introduced myself. I said, you know what, you just talked to me on the show, but here I am in person. And he went, oh, and he did a double take. And I said, do you mind if we take a picture? And he said, no, not at all. And T just got the right moment. Oh, it was so cool. Kenny Barron right there. And Kevin and Kirk, dedicated to you from Romance Language. Just thought those three songs in a row would go well.
All right. Yeah, you did great. That's why you are you. That was a wonderful set.
God bless you. So, tell me, we're going to play three more songs, and that is going to be it. I'm taking out Wes Montgomery. I'm taking out the new one by Kenny Garrett, but I have to play the song that I alluded to before, and I want to play a couple of Sound Doctrine songs. Tell me what the buzz is happening in Ohio with the group. Tell me what's going on with the label, and fill us in again on the Youngstown Jazz Festival.
I'll start with the latter. Youngstown Jazz Fest hits Saturday, July 7th, in Youngstown, off of the campus at Youngstown State University. It is a free show from 5 to whenever Pieces of a Dream decides they want to stop playing. but it is going to be great. I mean, the food vendors, the beverage vendors, just out in the open sky. A wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Last year we had 3,500 people. We're looking at 5,000 plus. Great parking right around because it is on the university campus. So, you can just come down there if you want to bring your own food and beverage. You know, you set up your lawn chairs, your umbrella, your blankets, and you just hang out with us all day. As I said before, Alton Merrill from Pittsburgh. Laura Baltro, you can go to all of their websites, outmerrill.com, laurabaltro.com, John Reese Project, great trombonist. If you like funk, jazz, trombone, he's going to bring it. Sound Doctrine, and of course, Pieces of a Dream as our very special guest. Sound Doctrine, what we're doing is preparing for the Jazz Fest as well as putting the final touches on some remix that we did for Perseverance. And I'm hoping we will meet our May 12th deadline. It doesn't look, as I'm sitting in a chair right now, it doesn't look like we will, but before we get out of the month of May, we've remixed the Perseverance album. Perseverance was our very first album released back in May of 2002, and this is called Perseverance 10.0. So we've taken a look at the songs and kind of changed some things around. Some of the things you're going to really dig, some of the things you're going to say, well, why did you change it? But, you know, it's all about experimentation. It's jazz, and we just took our time on it and redid a lot of stuff. With respect to Jerry, just celebrating life. You know, it's too busy for the time that you and I have to talk about here, but I'm trying to keep a handle on all of the balls that are in the air. But
gotcha.
Yeah, Trish, I just love what I do. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunities you give me to vibe with the audience. Grateful for the people in the chat room. This has really been wonderful.
How about it?
You know, meeting people like that. Just a great community, huh?
And while we're on the subject, thank you to the ever-present, beautiful sister friend Griselda in Texas in the chat room. Thank you to Albert and to Beach in Southern California and to Peter and to Matt and to Debbie and to the folks who wish to remain anonymous, the guests who float back and forth. It's really cool when that happens. When people get together, as Matt has said a time or two, it feels like a standing room only club scene.
Yeah. Because there's so many conversations that are happening simultaneously, you know?
Yeah.
And listening to some good music as a backdrop, so it's a really good vibe.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you miss a song or you catch a lyric or you feel a particular instrument, they go, wait a minute, hold on. What was that? Oh, did you catch that? I love it. Well, you know what? I wanted to play Resurrection, and I wanted to play Ellen's Arrival.
Excellent.
And then I wanted to play the song that I told you about at the beginning of the show. And let you know again that the vocal that you're going to hear at the end of this three-song set, this gentleman's mom had also been a minister and instrumental in steering him in the path in which he was to go.
All right. Yay for the mom to steer us, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it.
I love that. I love that passage. I do. We have to play Sound Doctrine from Inspire. Jerry B. has been our guest. Hang on with me, Jerry. We're going to say hello and goodbye all in the same breath when we come back. But I want to get your feedback on that last song. This is Resurrection. Woo! On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy this.
Thank you. and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
To this album all the way through, then you know most of the songs on this album are about love. Brotherly love, godly love, and a love between a man and a woman. But this next song says what the Bible says about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Listen and gather round me, children, children of a mother whose life lifted up love. Listen and gather round me, children, children of a mother whose life lifted up peace. A mother who taught all of her children to love and be loved by each other. Holding your sister's hand as she walks across life and look out for each other. Carry your brother's load, don't you ever, ever betray him. Go to the store, buy grandmama a pound of love. Mother
a mother who taught all of her children to love and be loved by each other. Hold your baby sister's hand as she walks across life and look out for each other. Carry your brother's load, don't you ever, ever betray him. Go to the store, my grandma, for a pound of love. I believe it's on sale. Of a mother whose life lifted up love. Listen, gather around me, children. Children of a mother whose life lifted up hope. A mother who's done all of her children to love and be loved by each other. Lift it up.
me.
I am done, JB. That man right there, Gregory Porter, that is called Mother's Song.
Wow. That was remarkable.
Wasn't it?
I mean, it really was. All the emotion was there, every line.
He is something else. I just want to give you his background because I think that you're probably going to have some sort of bond with him down the way too. This is from his sophomore album, Be Good. He was born in L.A., but his mom was a minister, and she moved the family to Bakersfield, California. He seems to be a quirky kind of guy. I'm very interested in learning more about him. He was playing the clubs there, and somebody introduced him to Hubert Laws.
Mm.
Hubert Laws liked him so much that he had a bit in Hubert's Remember the Unforgettable Nat King Cole album. While they were recording, Eloise Laws comes into the studio and hears Gregory and gets him a hookup with the California production of It Ain't Nothing But the Blues.
Wow.
So Gregory made such an impression that he was part of the original cast in New York City. And now he is touring everywhere. He is the buzz of these New York circles and beyond. His tour is taking him all over Europe. He has played at Lincoln Center, and they love him there. He's very special.
He's an excellent talent. I tell you what, like I said, every line you could hear emotion. I mean, this guy just wasn't singing the lyrics. He was giving it to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to end the show with that song after we just played those tracks that mean a lot from Sound Doctrine's Inspire CD.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And my family thanks you. I mean, that the little ditty in there, Ellen's Arrival, was written from the perspective, not of her leaving, but the rest of our family members who are at home awaiting our arrival, you know, as they welcomed her in. And you know, I'm just grateful that you played it. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. We just, those in the chat room who know Inspire love the CD. And that was your mom's voice. I love to hear that passage when she's speaking so eloquently and so knowingly. She was supposed to do this while she was on Earth, no question.
Oh, no question. No question. I was looking through some of her notes earlier, you know, this morning when I got up and just had my personal devotions. And I keep, you know, her notebooks and whatnot, or sermons and whatnot, in a special little chest, and I was just going through and, you know, seeing her handwriting and, you know, her thoughts, the poetry that she wrote and the sermons that she was working on, some which were not completed, and I was just blessed. I mean, I'm a blessed man that chose me to be her son, so
yep.
It's a good recollection, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely, I agree, and I know she's with my mom up there, and I know they're comforting each other today, and we've got 60 seconds now, so let me tell you something. I love you like I love no other man. You are my brother, and I'm so glad you had the time for us today.
Thank you for making the time for me. You are my sister, and this is the first of many, many thousands of conversations left to go.
That's right. That's right. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and the chat room loves you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you Tuesday with Dan Cipriano. Be there on Hybrid Jazz from Trish, Tennessee.